With What's News, I'm Charlie Turner in New York for The Wall Street Journal. The UK Parliament votes to delay Brexit. We'll have more on this from The Wall Street Journal's Jason Douglas in a moment. First, here are some headlines. The Senate approved a resolution Thursday blocking President Trump's emergency declaration at the southern border, setting up a likely veto by the president. The vote was 59 to 41, with a dozen Republicans joining all 47 members of the Democratic caucus to back the measure. Mr. Trump declared the emergency at the border last month, using it as part of his plan to divert $6.7 billion to build more barriers on the border with Mexico, after Congress authorized only $1.4 billion. The move, designed to improve border security, immediately drew bipartisan objections, with lawmakers saying the president was overstepping his constitutional authority. With no dissenting vote, the House Thursday passed a resolution calling for a public release of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's anticipated report on his investigation into Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election. The vote was 420 to zero. The special counsel's looking into whether anyone in President Trump's orbit aided Russia's interference efforts. The probe's also investigating whether Mr. Trump obstructed justice when he fired then-FBI Director James Comey after asking Mr. Comey to drop an investigation related to a Trump official's contacts with Russia. Mr. Trump has denied any collusion or obstruction. The black boxes from Ethiopian Airlines Flight 302 arrived in France early Thursday for analysis, a key step in a probe that could help determine how long Boeing's 737 MAX jetliner remains grounded around the world. The devices store key data like flight parameters and cockpit voice recordings, which investigators will unlock and read to help them determine the cause of the crash. The FAA joined regulators around the globe in grounding the 737 MAX, the type of jet that went down in Ethiopia on Sunday, killing all 157 aboard. The agency said it moved after determining the aircraft's flight path shared similarities with another 737 MAX that crashed in Indonesia in October. Former Texas Representative Beto O'Rourke announced Thursday he's running for president and has launched his campaign with a three-day tour of Iowa. Mr. O'Rourke is the 15th Democrat to enter the 2020 presidential race. He joins as an instant first-tier candidate, commanding an online donor network second in size only to the one Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders carried over from his 2016 presidential effort. Still ahead, UK lawmakers vote to delay the Brexit process. As expected, the British Parliament voted to delay the UK's departure from the European Union, which was scheduled for March 29th. The Wall Street Journal writes that this marks the latest installment in an extraordinary week for the Brexit saga. The vote for the extension was 412 to 202. The British government, headed by Conservative Theresa May, has not been able to agree on any orderly process for Brexit. On Tuesday, Parliament rejected Mrs. May's Brexit proposal for a second time, and on Wednesday, they dealt her a stinging defeat by voting down a no-deal exit from the EU under any circumstances. What does all this mean, and where does the Brexit story go from here? We're joined by Jason Douglas of The Wall Street Journal, who's in London. Now, Jason, what is next? A third vote on Mrs. May's Brexit plan?
Yes, that's right. So Mrs. May is going to bring her Brexit plan, which, as you rightly said, Parliament has already rejected twice, back for another go next week, probably on Tuesday. And then after that, she is hoping to go to the European Union to talk about an extension. Now, the length of the extension is kind of the next thing, the next big thing that we're all looking out for. It depends on what Parliament does with Mrs. May's deal in this third vote. So if they approve it, which at the minute seems probably still unlikely, then the UK will probably get quite a short extension from the European Union, just in order to sort of tie up all the loose ends and do the legislative stuff that needs to be done. But the possibly more interesting thing is that if they don't approve it, then it looks like the EU is going to offer a much longer extension to the UK, which would put Brexit off sort of indefinitely until lawmakers here can figure out what exactly it is they want.
Now, let's be clear. The 27 EU governments have to sign off on this extension?
That's correct, yes.
Going back a bit, Jason, what is it about Ms. May's proposal that lawmakers object to, if not everything?
Sure. The main sticking point for her has been this issue around Northern Ireland, right? So Northern Ireland is part of the United Kingdom, and it has a border with the Republic of Ireland, which is going to remain an EU member when the UK leaves. And because of the sort of, because of the rather sad and bloody history of that region of the world, they want to make sure, both sides want to make sure that there isn't any border, any customs border, any regulator, any sort of infrastructure, all that kind of stuff. They don't want any of that to reemerge in the event of the UK leaving. And so the London and Brussels eventually negotiated what was really quite a torturous so-called backstop, an insurance policy that would try and make sure this didn't happen. Now, parts of that were really very unpalatable to some of the hardcore Brexiteers in Mrs. May's own party, and especially to the Democratic Unionist Party, which is a little party from Northern Ireland, which has about 10 MPs, that Theresa May leans on to govern, leans on for her majority. They object very strongly to anything that would mean that Northern Ireland is treated any differently to any part of the rest, to the rest of the UK, sorry. And so that has been the big stumbling block, and she just can't seem to get over their objections to that. They've tried various sort of legal fixes, but nothing has really been very persuasive. What we might expect then over the weekend, in the next couple of days, is one last shot at persuading these guys that the backstop is okay, that they can finally swallow it. What form that takes, who knows?
Well, the Wall Street Journal says that there's been a formal argument for a really long extension in case, you know, all this doesn't work out, possibly one that lasts more than a year, so that it would give all the lawmakers in Parliament a time to build a firm consensus on Brexit. Would something like that make a difference?
It's hard to say. You would hope that it would. I mean, we've had a couple of years of negotiations now, or, well, a couple of years since the vote, and then about 18 months of negotiations, and Parliament is still deeply split on what exactly it is to do, what exactly it needs to do. The thing about a long extension is it opens up a couple of other possibilities that might provide a way forward. One is a general election, so you could have another election, and then you might get a new government with a slightly clearer majority that could perhaps push through a Brexit plan of its own. That could be, for example, a government led by Jeremy Corbyn of the Labour Party. Another option is you could have another referendum altogether on whether to leave the EU. That's probably less popular tonight than it was a couple of weeks ago, because Parliament actually voted on whether or not to have one during a sequence of votes tonight, and it was roundly rejected. Another possible way forward is you could have sort of a series of indicative votes, what lawmakers are calling indicative votes, to try and give you a sense of where the common ground in Parliament might be, and then try and build a plan out of that. So that would be in things like, you know, regulation on customs, and do you want to stay in the single market of regulation, this kind of stuff. So there would certainly, you would hope that if there was a long extension, the UK could finally figure out exactly what it wants. But I mean, you're right that you know, Parliament is still deeply split in this. The public is split down the middle on exactly what to do. So it's you're right, it's not entirely clear what that would achieve.
Isn't an argument against a long delay that it would run into European Parliament elections something that Britain wants no part of?
Yes, that's right. There are elections scheduled for the European Parliament in July. And so one of the arguments for a short extension is that would allow the UK to finish off the Brexit process and leave the EU before those elections take place. The problem, as you can probably guess, is that it's a little bit strange to have a departing member state hold elections to send people to the European Parliament, who will then, you know, vote on European level legislation on that kind of thing. There are also questions around the budget, the European budget. The UK contributes around £10 billion a year into that. So would it keep paying? So there are a lot of questions around this, a lot of legal questions that lawyers all over the place are currently trying to figure out what the answer is. The other big problem with a long delay is that people who voted for Brexit don't like the idea of it at all. They are already a bit fed up that this has taken so long, and certainly the pro-Brexit factions in Parliament think it's a very bad idea.
So to clarify this, a third vote on Mrs. May's proposal probably would be held sometime next week. You said that?
That's right, yes. Probably on Tuesday, but we're not 100% sure yet.
Sort of an overview of this, Jason. Isn't one of Mrs. May's problems that she's trying to shepherd a Brexit deal through that she was originally against quite some time ago?
Yes, that's right. Her problem is that she can't bring on board the Brexiteers in the way that a Brexiteer might have been able to. By Brexiteer, of course, I mean someone who's very pro-Brexit. If you remember the sort of Nixon in China thing, it's that kind of idea. So, you know, a real dyed-in-the-wool Brexiteer, someone who really believed in the cause, would have found it easier to bring the hardcore with them into the centre ground to find some sort of thing, some sort of Brexit plan that would have been palatable to the whole Parliament. What Mrs. May has found is that she had to be sort of purer than pure. So she had to pretend, if you like, to be a real Brexiteer. She had to nail these very Brexit-like colours to the mast early on. So she set out all these red lines in her negotiating strategy that she didn't want to cross around issues around immigration and customs and so on. And she's clung to these even as the negotiations have progressed and things have got harder and harder for her. So yes, that's quite true. Her problems do stem from a real sort of obstinacy on her part, and this constant need to kind of placate this extreme pro-Brexit faction of her party.
Wall Street Journal reporter Jason Douglas joining us from London. Thanks, Jason.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And that's What's News. I'm Charlie Turner in New York for the Wall Street Journal.